the Fantasy Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Appelgarth. What is up, man?
Hello, how are you? I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking.
Stashing players on the IR ain't cheating. I like it.
That's right. Roto wear, baby.
I got good stuff.
I should have wore this for my for our show a couple weeks ago, though, since it says Fantasy Football 101 at the top. That would have made more
yes,
sense.
That would have been way better, but that's all right.
I don't remember what I wore.
I don't remember either, so it's all good. I'm sure nobody else does either. Anyway, so tonight we have a great show. We're going to be going through some running back debates. We did last week with our quarterbacks. We're going to be doing running backs instead this week. So, stay on for that. But like always, every week, just want to remind everybody to hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave those comments. We appreciate it. And of course, go over to fantasysixpack.net and become an all access member, where you can become a member to get our access to our rankings, our projections, our DFS and betting advice, our Discord, where you're going to have direct access to all of us at Fantasy Six Pack to ask your league-specific questions. There's more. We got draft cheat sheets, and there's going to be more coming too. So make sure you go over there. Use promo code F6PNFL for 15% off. excuse me. And then, guys, we do the same thing for baseball, and it doesn't change for football. If you want custom league advice, or not custom league advice, if you want the best customization for free, by the way, for your fantasy football leagues, you got to go over to Fantrax. Fantrax.com/fantasy6pack. Sign up to get your free league started. Join over there. They've got so many free customization options. There's no reason not to throw your league over there if you're looking for something a little extra. And so you ready to rock and roll, AJ?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right. Are we doing beer of the week? Are we back?
I mean, I guess I'm drinking a beer.
Helps. All right. I guess we'll do that real quick. I haven't done it in a while. I feel like we should.
Okay. Way to totally have me prepared for that one.
Sorry.
Get that banner running now. Just put up the hashtag beer. Sucker.
All right. AJ, what you got?
Mid-sip here. I'm drinking a little lighter side here. It's the Goose Island traditional IPA. So nothing major.
All right. I am drinking a Flying Dog Experimental IPA, Sabro Citra Simcoe 6.2%. Also a little bit lighter. It's 3.5 maybe at best on out of 5. It's not great. It's just been sitting in my fridge for a while, so I figured why not. So okay, let's bring our guest on, Sam Holt of excuse me. Sorry,
this guy
took a sip for a second. Illustrator and fantasy football analyst for Fantasy Life. And you've been on the show a couple of times. Welcome back.
Thank
Glad
you.
To have you.
Yeah, always good to join you guys. Excited to talk about some running backs and get into it. Obviously, I've got the Scott Fishbowl live draft in LA this weekend, so trying to just keep this old thing rolling and just keeping all the fantasy stats up here. So this will be as much helpful for me as hopefully it's going to be helpful for other people as well.
That's awesome. Interesting that yours starts the weekend after most, you know, obviously the slow drafts have started already, yeah. And they started on Monday. We had the DC live draft this past weekend. Now, a lot of the live drafts were this past weekend as well. So that's interesting. How much are you like just analyzing the ADP?
I mean, to be honest, I feel like it's all going to be a mixed bag because I was at the live draft last year and I know that our draft was, I think, different than everyone else's too. I think it's just all about the atmosphere in the room. So as much as I could go through and check everyone's ADP and see what everyone's doing, day of when you're there in the mix and talking with all these amazing people about your players, people are going to start pivoting immediately.
Oh yeah.
Those that think they have a plan, they're going to throw that plan by the wayside. And those like myself, they're like, I'm just going to see what rolls to myself and be excited about the guys that I know I like, that I know I'm going to get. I know that I chose the 12 spot to capitalize on the third round reversal. Yeah. And that's the only thing that I'm just going to like holding on to that. I'm aware that I'm probably not going to get Travis Kelce. I know I'm not going to get someone like Josh Allen. It's just going to be, let's see what we get. Because I've been
the
drafting,
latest I've seen Kelce go from Josh ADHD on Twitter, it was 110, which was still just like jaw-dropping. I was like, what, why, how? That's unfair, because that dude literally is gonna get Kelce and like probably a pretty good quarterback on the way back, and that's silly.
Like, I can confirm that, it was the 110 at Elijah FF173 was the lucky SOB.
Lucky
that's
SOB.
Just not even fair. Like,
no,
I mean, that's what can happen. Is like in my live draft league division, I know I end up getting Miles Sanders and I'm blanking on the other one now, but two basically RB1s for their teams in rounds like 8 and 9, and if I'm looking at the ADPs, they're typically going in like 5 and 6, maybe latest 7 range. And I'm like, whoa, okay, cool, I'll take it. So the rest of my draft didn't go exactly to plan, but to get that value can make up for it sometimes.
Yeah, which I know we're going to be going through ADPs and things with these running backs coming up. But again, everyone's draft is going to be so different. So you can say, like, based on this, I want that value. But when you're in the moment and if you see a guy slide, you don't want to miss out on that opportunity.
Right.
But also, I think when you're building these teams, at least for myself, I'm trying to outweigh risk and reward. So I'm always picking guys based on is there any off the field issues? Is he going to maybe miss a couple games? I'll allow someone like Alvin Kamara.
I'm actually on the clock. Anybody want a live Scott Fishbowl pick right now?
Ooh, yeah, we do.
Ooh. So I'm actually, because we drafted last week, weekend. I'm already down in round 19. Not a lot left on the board. I just got sniped on Josh Downs, so that pissed
also
me off.
The running back you couldn't name was Rashad White.
You are right. I mean, now that I'm looking at my team, thank you. May have had a few of these when I drafted Rashad White in round 8.
Do most people, which is so why some players like fall.
Yes. So I could take Marvin Mims, and sadly Russ Wilson is my QB2, so that's a slight stack that could be okay, but I'm not sure I believe in it. There's not a lot left. I mean, we're looking at like Robert Woods, MVS, Chase Claypool, bleh. Yeah, Terrence Marshall.
You're making this live pick sound.
I mean, we are in round 19 of this draft. And anybody exciting? I mean, this is what happens to Scott Fish in round 19. Who wants to be in this league? This
time
is what
to
happens.
Take your fifth quarterback.
No. I'm kind of looking at receiver because I've only got 6 and I feel like I need more. And they basically run out after this round. I can kind of tell. There's nobody that I give two craps about after this. Kind of feel like going Mims just because, like, you know, we know that Judy and Cortland Sutton can't really stay healthy a full season, so why not? Maybe that could work. I mean, round 19, I feel like I'm not keeping these guys most of the season anyway.
Yeah, you're just shooting for a dart.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for the ceiling.
Marvin Mims, let's do it. All right, moving on. All right, so let's come over here to the running backs. And so we're actually going to start with a running back topic, but not the debate yet. And but because we've got to bring up Alvin Kamara. And so obviously very recent news. He just pleaded, or he will plead, no contest. And it will be a misdemeanor charge. So he's not going to, you know, serve jail time and that kind of stuff. But there's still that question of what's the NFL going to do? How is this going to impact fantasy? Sam, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, the fact that he's pleading no contest and he's not, you know, putting up a fight about it, I really question how much the NFL is actually going to, you know, reprimand him for something like this. I mean, the NFL is historically not, in my opinion, been the best about the rate at which they suspend players for a number of weeks. There isn't really a, you know, a graph that we can follow and know, like, it's going to be this many weeks, it's going to be this many, because it's been a bit sporadic just in terms of how they handle these things. So just to put it mildly. So I feel like if, at least where he's sitting in ADP now, it's a great value, even if you do miss 1, 2, 3 weeks. I think that based on other running backs that you're going to get, there should be plenty enough volume to keep you in the mix to begin the season. I'm not really worried about it. I just think that this is the lowest I've seen Alvin Kamara go just in terms of ADP in years. So again, you're not drafting him as your number one running back, so you're going to get value elsewhere.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I actually passed up on Kamara for Sanders in Scott Fish. It was one of those, like, you know, Jacobs had been my only RB at that point, and I was like, I kind of wanted a more sure thing at that point, because at least I know Sanders is going to start the season. Still, I mean, Sunday, we didn't know what was going to happen with Kamara still. This came out the next day. So, but still, we still don't know. Like, the NFL could very well suspend him for, what, 4, 5, 6 games. They could go crazy, you know, or they could go 0, you know, like, again, it's kind of up in the air, but I wanted the sure thing, and I like the fact that, you know, Sanders has that backfield to himself there, so that's kind of why I went that way. But, you know, we'll see how it works out. I mean, Kamara's still fantastic, so when he's on the field. But AJ, any thoughts from you, or you want to move on?
No, we can move on.
Okay. Yeah, all right, so very first running back debate that we're going to have here is between Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, and Bijan Robinson. So three of the top running backs going off the board here. We got Saquon Barkley going off, and we're using Sleeper's PPR ADP data right now. Saquon is going off at ADP overall of 10.7 RB5. Jonathan Taylor is 9.2 RB4. Bijan 7.6 RB3. Look, Saquon returned last year, you know, to form. Everybody was, there was a lot of people off of him. I sadly was one of them. Davis Peng, who is a big basketball player and writes for us, was pounding the hammer for him and yelling at people to draft him. And sadly, not enough people listened. He fell still a lot. But he finished as RB5 last year in PPR. JT struggled a little bit with the Colts. A little bit of a poor offensive line last year as compared to what we are used to. Some injuries hurt them. The QB play ultimately was the worst part for that whole team, and we know that. He also dealt with his own injuries. But he still finishes RB18 points per game. Not great, but you know, with everything going on, maybe that's not so horrible. Then there's Bijan, right? So he's the next golden child of running backs, right? He's being comped to Saquon when he, you know, of course, when Saquon came out, he was like the do-all running back. So out of these three players, Sam, who is the one that you would rather have, you know, mixing in a little ADP and whatever that you want?
I mean, looking at where they're sitting very close together, I mean, I get it's hard to kind of pick of my favorites here because there's a lot to like about each player. But specifically Dynasty question off the bat, it would be Bijan. I mean, just again, depending on your league format, just because Dynasty, you're obviously building for long term and you look at his situation there, he's going to absolutely get all the volume. And when you're going for a running back in this type of situation, number one, what you want the most is the most opportunity. So you're going to pick the player that's going to have the most opportunity for the most longevity when it comes to Dynasty. And just in redraft too, it's kind of hard to not just stay with Bijan there as well. I mean, obviously Saquon, you know, is still questionable holding out in that sense, but he's probably going to play, knowing that how things shake out, it'll all be fine. But the Giants are also going to try and mix things up. They've also got Darren Waller there now, and not that he's going to necessarily eat into Saquon's carries, but what I like the most, I think, about Bijan is he is the shiny object. He is going, like, every offensive move has to run through him. They're going to have to open up the field to let Daniel Jones do more with someone like Darren Waller, because they desperately need to open up their passing game. Because last year, I don't know if I can remember a single receiver off the top of my head that was worth remembering from last season, let alone going into Zaya this year Hodgins as well.
For like
sure, minutes. Yeah. Throw a bunch of letters together. It's probably a name of some receiver that was for the Giants. It's fine. But they're going to have to open that up, because if they don't, what's going to happen is Saquon has had injuries in the past and they're going to wear him out. So I'd rather have someone that's going to have the volume with zero competition like Bijan. You have the second comparison there to Jonathan Taylor, dealing with a little bit of an ankle issue. He's probably going to be fine and play. But with Anthony Richardson there, now there's a lot to move around. He is a mobile quarterback. He's going to do a lot of running. Is he just going to run it into the end zone when they're in close? Is he going to allow Jonathan Taylor to carry the ball in? I don't know. It's a little bit of a mixed bag there for me. So because there's just a slight question, I feel like I'm just leaning Bijan right now between those, just with their situations right now.
Yeah.
I definitely like all the upside that Bijan brings. I think with JT, you know, the offense is new. It's the Eagles coordinator coming over. You mentioned Anthony Richardson. I mean, he may not even start the season, likely won't, but he's going to play. You know, Irsay has already come out in a drunken rambling rage saying that he needs him to play. So, you know, I think to me, I would lean Saquon first, just because I know what I'm getting with him. And yeah, Waller's there. He's going to get some of the targets. He's going to turn out to probably be the best receiver on the team. Possibly next to Saquon, though. I mean, he's the safety gap. Daniel Jones is going to run as well, but I think the injuries that slowed him down were like ticky-tack weird injuries. So I'm not too worried about them. I think last year was what we know we're going to get from him. So I would lean him. It is close, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely close for me, too. That's why we put these three together. But I lean a little bit of Barkley, too. I mean, you're talking a guy who saw 76 targets last season, and we've seen more in the past. I don't know if Waller is going to decrease that enough, because there's just not enough in the passing game outside of Waller. And Waller could get hurt, as we know, very easily. He has in the past a lot. And so, again, it's a little bit more of Bijan's just a little bit too expensive for me in his year one for me to go. Like, I love him in Dynasty, obviously, like you said, Sam. But in a redraft league, I don't know if I can plunge in before a guy who is Saquon Barkley level already, Jonathan Taylor level already. Because we've seen them do it. I mean, who knows? Crazier things have happened. We've seen guys like Bijan come in and totally flop. So, yeah, I'd hate to take that plunge at RB3, and that's going to crush your season for most teams who took him there.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, all right. AJ, next up.
Next three we got here is Derrick Henry at ADP of 18.9. He's RB7. Nick Chubb is actually RB6. He is at 15.8. And Josh Jacobs is 19.3 and RB8. So the only three backs to carry the ball over 300 times last season are these guys. Henry, even in PPR, finished as an RB4 despite missing a game. Chubbs was RB6. These guys are just monsters. Jacobs was RB3. These guys just don't need to even worry about catching the ball to make them valuable in PPR. But they're being drafted after guys that they finished ahead of last season or that didn't even play in the season. So why and who would you want from this list the most?
You mean why are they being taken after the guys that we already talked about?
Yes.
I mean, I think kind of what you already said. I mean, most leagues nowadays are PPR, so we're looking for the passing game upside. And these are names that typically you don't think of as huge pass catchers. They are the bell cow backs, and they're going to absolutely run it in. And in many cases, like Derrick Henry, just run over the entire other opposing team to get the job done. That's what we love about them. They're ground and pound guys, and they're going to get it done. Looking at just the sheer usage of them last year and how they were doing, all neck and neck. I get why that you guys put them together in this group. But I guess for me, if I'm looking at the three of them, which would I rather have? What you almost said about Saquon Barkley. I want to know what I'm going to get when I take one of these guys. And I feel like Nick Chubb is just kind of the old reliable of the three. Yeah. And when you look at the pace of usage over the years, it's just kind of a slow and steady, easy does it, keeps getting better. Things keep going up. It's all just everything is gravy. And I mean, the Browns are going to be leaning on him a ton. I mean, they've made a couple offseason moves, and hopefully this year Deshaun Watson remembers how to play football again and they'll open up the passing game. But besides that, if they have any question marks, they are going to lean on Nick Chubb as they have over the last 3 to 4 years that they've just been leaning on him so much. So for me, I'd rather stick with, again, if I'm going to wait on the other guys, I'm taking a running back a little bit later. So let's say I'm sitting at 10 or 12 where I'm going to be this weekend. And let's say quarterback situation wasn't what it was and people are actually drafting running backs early the way that people should. Maybe I would be taking someone like Nick Chubb at the turn after 12 passes.
Okay. Joe, which one do you like?
So I am going to go Jacobs here, especially because you can factor in a little bit of PPR help. Now, do I expect Jacobs to get 340 carries like he did last year? Probably not, but there's nobody there to challenge him this year. And obviously, Josh McDaniels trusts him and will just run him into the ground again if he can. As long as he stays healthy, I don't see any reason why not. And he can boost his value unlike Henry and Chubb. Now Henry, I will give him credit. He did have I believe he had a career year in passing. He did. Yeah. He caught almost double than he has in any other season.
Six catches.
33. His career high before that was 19. But here's the amazing thing with him. He got 33 passes for 398 yards. That's a lot. You can even look at Josh Jacobs. He caught 53 for 400. Jacobs, or you get Henry the ball in space against corners, nobody's stopping him. And it's almost like Tennessee finally figured that out, but they were so crummy, it didn't matter anyway. So I kind of feel you on Henry. Henry's my number two, but they're all so good. They're all, in my opinion, they're a little undervalued. I almost would rather have some of these guys than JT, who that offense is just so scary to think about this year.
Yep.
I mean, tell me Indy doesn't give you Tennessee vibes from last year, where it was like, oh man, like we brought in this other guy, and you know, now Anthony Richardson's gonna be, you know, like this running super athletic quarterback, and
I mean, the Colts were scrambling last year when they had a head coach that they pulled from ESPN. So I mean,
correct.
Like there's a lot to be concerned about, and they're trying to still figure things out. And I think that they have a great pick with Richardson there. But it's still, you know, this is a wait and see what it's going to look like. Are they just going to stick with what they know and run it through Jonathan Taylor, and that's great? Or are they going to try things up, and this is the year to mix it up? Between those two, I do love Derrick Henry a lot. It's would be really hard for me to not take him, but I also just always assume that by the time this comes to me and I had to make that decision, he would get sniped before me. I could take him anyways.
Exactly. Yeah. But again, like for me though, it's Jacobs, because I do think Vegas is going to be a 1-2 punch with Jacobs and Adams again. And so that's
you're breaking all the hearts of the Zamir White truthers out there.
Sorry. That was a failed hope.
The same number of people that I thought Henry had as catches. Six. All six of you, we apologize. Awesome. Quick question here. Two of them, actually. So, Derrick Henry, does he get any kind of a boost if the Titans do end up signing DeAndre Hopkins? Or do you still like your other pick?
Wait, is that for me?
Sorry.
Yeah. You can go usually first. Usually we let the guests go first.
Oh, wait, can you say that again?
does Henry get a little bit of a boost enough for you to choose him instead if the Titans actually sign DeAndre Hopkins?
I mean, he could. Yeah, I think so. I mean, because what happens when you get someone like Nuke in there is it just opens up the field. And so now you've got a defense that has to decide, okay, are we going to cover one of the best receivers of all time? Because I feel like he's in that category. He's absolutely incredible. We'll make a catch out of anything. And then, or are you going to let yourself get run over by a fridge? Like, literally, one or the other. Pick your poison. They're both very, very deadly. So I like the idea of Hopkins being able to open things up for Henry quite a bit and just be that insane decoy, because
right.
You can't not cover him. No, I think that it does give it a little edge. You can.
It's interesting. Like, yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. I do think if they sign Nuke, it would help Henry out just a little bit. You know, lessens the box for him.
Absolutely.
I think it would also help Treylon Burks a ton.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's gonna be awesome for him. But we have no idea what's going on there. There's a little bit of hype now that it's going to the Titans. That's why I wanted to bring it up. And Jamie,
is that official?
Oh, there's a little bit of hype that it's going there. It's not official, obviously. But hey, what's up, Jamie? Of course, we got Dap saying, "I love fridges." Dap's a funny guy.
Hold my
beer. I love lamp.
I love lamp. Yes, good one. All right, next up for our RB debate, Tony Pollard, 23.6 overall, 9 running back. Breece Hall, 26.1, number 10. Ramondre Stevenson, 27.3 and 11. So yeah, 9, 10, 11. I know, a little boring, but you know, Hall coming off this ACL injury, like, he was amazing when he was healthy last year, despite a slow start. He had the 8th most points per game last season. Basically, you know, he basically didn't play a whole lot the first couple games of the season, and all of a sudden it was like, bam. So, Pollard was 9th at points per game, I believe, or overall, even with Zeke being there. So now Zeke's not there, and we know that. So I know there's some people that are saying the sky's the limit, or maybe Pollard can't carry that workload and they're going to figure something else out. I know they brought in some of the guys, but and new offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of moving pieces there in Dallas. Stevenson was also incredible, finishing his RB7. However, if you really just look at like points per game, he finished just short of these guys, RB11. Who do you got between these three?
Between these three, it's definitely not Ramondre. No offense, Ramondre, but there's something about Patriots running backs that just makes me nervous. I mean, yes. Maybe it's just because history. I don't know. I just don't want to get burned again.
Agreed.
The oven was hot when I touched it, and I learned, and I don't want to touch it again. So, for me, I think it goes between Breece Hall and Tony Pollard. And when I look at someone like Hall, who's coming off the injury that he is, they always lose a level of explosiveness when they're coming off something like this. So I don't necessarily want him this year, maybe next year. Again, if this is Dynasty, it's a little bit different. But for me, I guess I'd have to go with Pollard between them. He was perfectly capable of handling the lead role last season, and now he just gets it completely unhinged. Welcome. Have anything you want in the fridge. Like, he gets everything to himself. So I love him this season for that. And I think based on where you're getting him, you're getting a really high volume. So I love him here.
Jamie's saying Cowboys also have a high pace of play, top five in the league, some more points, but that might change. They don't have the offensive coordinator from last year. He's over in
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore, where'd he go?
Los Angeles Chargers.
Chargers, yeah. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? That's what we meant by a lot of moving pieces. So, you know, that's going to affect things. But, yeah. AJ?
I definitely agree with the fear of going with a Patriots running back, but I think I am going to go with Carr Ramrod on this. You know, that's my coined term that I stole from Super Troopers. So it's spelled differently because he's got an H. So it works. But yeah, I mean, I just think what we saw out of him last year, you know, towards the end of the season, he was more explosive. You know, even with Dame Harris there, he really wasn't stealing much work from him. You know, Harris is kind of just the guy at this point, but we will talk about him later, I believe, in a sense. Breece, I agree. The injury scares me. He came out like gangbusters. He was awesome to watch. But I don't think he's going to be ready to start the season, you know, as far as producing that much that we're used to seeing, even though it's a small sample size. Pollard, the worry for me with Pollard is that he hasn't necessarily had the entire workload yet. Zeke's always kind of been there just to pick up the crumbs and, you know, get a little bit of work, especially some of the goal line work. So who knows if they re-sign Zeke. If they do, that could even knock Pollard's ADP down a little bit more. Probably not much because Zeke's pretty much cooked. So I'm going Carr Ramrod.
Yeah, I'll make it short. I'm in on Pollard. Everything you all said, you know, injury history or injury risk with Hall. Not that I think he's going to re-injure it, but and then Stevenson with New England, obviously just.
And careful. Now I am on careful. A live Scott Fishbowl pick.
All right.
Ooh. Which round? What round are you in?
I am in round. He's a lot earlier than I'm us. At the 11
than me.
11, 12 ooh. Pick damn. And turn. Ooh. My team so far is Hurts, Danny Dimes, Carr Ramrod, Hockenson, Walker, Sanders, Rashad. Mike Evans is my first receiver. Sam Howell,
that's right.
And Dalton Schultz.
So receiver.
So I'm going tight end. just kidding. Receiver, I'm looking at Juju, Michael Thomas, Rashad Bateman. No thanks. Cortland Sutton, I do like. Scrolling a little farther down.
You've been updating the Fantasy Suspect cheat
sheet? I have, but it's on my work computer, not my not Google Drive. So, yeah, Tyler Higbee just got taken two picks ago, and he was, like, at the top for, like, a round and a half.
Yeah, but you don't need that. Need a receiver. Man.
I mean, I definitely like.
Juju as your top two receivers is rough, but you might have to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't like
that at all. I mean, like I said, I kind of like Sutton. I just feel like receivers are way undervalued in Scott Fish this year.
Well, they should be because of the points per carry, but yeah.
So I don't know. I'll
sit on that one for a minute. Yeah. Sorry, Scott Fish. Time. We're gonna move on here with the show. So AJ, ask this next question.
All right. So the next question here, we've got Kenneth Walker, who I just mentioned as one of my running backs, and Travis Etienne. Etienne is RB13 at a 31.7 ADP, 36.7 ADP for Walker, and right behind him at 14. So basically, you know, last season was pretty much Etienne's rookie season. He had 255 touches. He struggled a bit in the passing game. You know, more than most would have hoped for, but he still finished as RB17. Walker was pretty much amazing. Once Penny was ruled out for the season during week 5, finished at RB11 in PP points per game over that time. Now he's got Charbonnet there to kind of challenge for some carries. Etienne still doesn't have a lot behind him, but they did bring in rookie Tank Bigsby. So which one of these, you know, lead backs with the rookie nipping at their heels do you prefer of the two?
I mean, they're both very young to have someone right behind them, but I mean, I understand the Seahawks mindset in terms of they are not, you know, they're accustomed to having a lot of injuries at the position. So they're shoring things up from that end, but they're also very much like once they have their guy, they're not going to necessarily move from him. So it's not like going to be a situation where you're seeing both of them on the field intermittently. It's going to be Walker's job until something happens. But I am going to go with Etienne here just with the PPR upside. He did get more targets last year, and I like him as a pass catcher with Trevor Lawrence just a little bit more. And just when it comes to the receiving game there for Seattle, it's proven that they've got plenty of talent there. Hey, Callie. How are you?
Kelly was on last week.
I love Kelly. She's fantastic. I think there's just so much competition in the receiving game there for the Seahawks that I could see Walker taking maybe a little bit of even a dip at that this season. Again, because they've also got Jaxon Smith-Njigba there. They've just got a lot of mouths to feed in terms of good young talent. So for me, I'm going to stay with Travis Etienne here of the two.
Yeah, and it's funny, and I agree with you, but it's funny, like, everybody wants to go, oh, Etienne, because the PPR work, but, like, honestly, it wasn't that great for Etienne last year.
But it was better than...
Better, much than better.
I mean, we're splitting hairs right here between where they're at.
Yeah, they both didn't score touchdowns, but Etienne caught, what, 8 more passes, saw 10 more targets, he dropped a few, which was, like, just... like a few touchdowns too early on. But I you know, once we saw him kind of get his feet under him in the NFL, we saw him really just like skyrocket, and he was amazing down the stretch last season. And you know, that offense in general kind of took a big leap last year in the second half, now that they have been able to move on from a head coach that we will not name. So I'm expecting big things from Etienne. I know they've been talking about potential workload, you know, not giving him as much work, but like when you're talking about running back standards, 220 carries and 45 targets, that's not a ton. Like, that's pretty good. I feel like you should be able to give Etienne that every year, all year, and he can last a long time. You know, you try to give him Derrick Henry kind of touches, Etienne's probably going to break in half. Okay, so we'll get it. Yeah. So, but yes, I love Etienne's talent. I've loved it ever since he got into the NFL. Kenneth Walker is great, but yeah, I'm right there with you on Etienne. Next up here, we have an actual rookie, Jahmyr Gibbs, going at 37 overall, 15 running for running backs. Dalvin Cook, 58.1, 22nd for running backs. This one's a bit of a different story from what we've been doing so far, you know, totally opposites, right? So we've got Jahmyr Gibbs, who is kind of that new, talented, flashy rookie that a lot of people are getting excited about because of what he did in college, and I get it. Versus a running back who has been talented, and even was last year, but got cut by the Vikings, still unsigned. We don't know where he's going. We've heard Jets, Patriots, we've heard Dolphins. Please, God, not the Dolphins. They've got 500 running backs. Even the Jets would be terrible. I don't even know if I like any of those. Please stay anywhere else but there. Like, if you, because of his ADP, I feel like people are expecting Cook to sign somewhere where he's going to be the lead back and, like, the dominant lead back. He goes to any one of those three. I'm not sure it's happening. So, with that in mind, who do you like out of these two, given the ADP cost?
I mean, this is a really complicated question. This is an onion. There's a lot of layers to it. My God. Yes. I mean, do I want to have the rookie talent who's also on a team that just shipped out their other lead running backs and just said, screw it, we're going to go with the new young guy? Jamal Williams is no longer there. Swift is no longer there.
And then brought in David Montgomery as well.
and they brought in Montgomery. I don't really think of Montgomery very much, clearly.
He's the Jamal Williams, though, and Gibbs is the Swift, if you really think about it.
No, but when you think of Jamal Williams, I think swagger. I think, you know, ambiance. I think, like, he brings something.
He's
going to bring touchdowns in the end zone. I don't think of that when I think of David Montgomery.
You're right. I'm thinking kind of the hammer versus, like, their style of play, maybe, is what I'm thinking.
You're thinking of a hammer and a toy hammer. I think those are two very different things.
Sure.
So for me, I think that Montgomery's there to be a veteran. I think he's there to be like a veteran that's going to help Gibbs get his feet under him into the NFL, get him used to it. That's what this veteran presence is for. I don't think that they're going to be leaning on Montgomery by any means and saying, this is your locker room, and then Gibbs, come in here and see if you can win it. I think that they're going to be a tandem duo, but I think that the edge at the end of the season is going to go to Gibbs still. So I'm going to... It's tough between the two, because then also I'm looking at a homeless Dalvin Cook, which is really sad. But, you know, you see this happen. You see a team cut a running back, and then you see other teams kind of balk at what they're asking for. And this kind of falls into that Melvin Gordon category, where Melvin Gordon was fantastic, and then he dropped off. And then immediately, year after year, it was just like another peg got taken out. And it was just, you watch these guys fall from grace. And I don't know if that's going to happen this year, because Cook's not dealing with some crazy irreverent injury that no one's seen him play in a long time. That's not the case. This is just, you know, your time has come. You have sunset here, and we want you to move on. But to your point, if he goes to one of these crowded backfields, is he going to be Dalvin Cook, or is he going to be just another guy? So I guess for me, I'd want to kind of go with the upside and go with someone like Gibbs, who's got a lot of volume potential right out the gate with a team that's very hungry. Obviously, the Lions did fantastic last year. They are going to be playoff contenders again with the rate at which that they have made moves and set themselves up. So I'd kind of rather stay there with the young guy and go with the upside and just watch Dalvin find a home somewhere and wish him the best.
Kind of agree. Yeah.
I would agree. I would much rather have Gibbs and the upside there. Like what Detroit's getting ready to do this year, honestly. So too many unknowns with Cook right now. But speaking of Cook, his replacement now, Mr. Alexander Mattison and Mr. Rashad White, who we have mentioned probably way more already in this podcast than we thought. Mattison is ADP of 53, RB 20. Rashad's a little farther back, 71.5 and 27. So Mattison now being this replacement, or at least until Minnesota signs somebody else, you know, at times in his career, he's shown that he can do it all and do it pretty well. Rashad White, now the lone back in Tampa. I mean, at least the one that we care about, but Brady's not there and you've got the Baker show. So which one of these two do you like better and why?
The Baker Show. My God. This one's interesting. I mean, I think I really would love to say Rashad White because he is the lead one here, but I haven't seen it. And if I'm going to be taking a back this late, I'd rather go with someone that an entire franchise has just bought behind. And by shipping out Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison has this job. He has all those carries. Give me Alexander Mattison all day. I wish the best for Rashad White. I want things to improve, but there are too many question marks around the Bucks for me to get excited about any other players right now, let alone Rashad White.
I couldn't agree more, and was super duper pissed when Madison got drafted right in front of Rashad White in my Scott Fishbowl, which is why I take Rashad White. I was like, yeah, I got him. Oh, I don't got him.
Whoops. So I feel like Madison's gonna win people some leagues this year.
We've also seen him not be very efficient, even in the last couple of seasons. Like, you know, I think of all those weeks where Cook was out, and we're like, Madison's an RB1, Madison. And then it was like 12 carries for 25 yards and nothing. And you were like, what the hell happened? It happened far too often the last couple of seasons, it felt like. But, now that he's going to have like an entire offseason to finally maybe make this offense running game his, I think that's, you know, that's why I lean Madison as well. So next up here, Miles Sanders and Cam Akers. 54.5 overall for Miles Sanders, 21 RB21. Cam Akers overall ADP of 63.3, RB24. Look, Miles Sanders, as I said early on, it's been, you know, now with Carolina, got the backfield to himself. He's been very, very good when he's had the ball. He's never got it enough in Philly, in my opinion. It was weird. I don't understand what Philly was doing. And if you look at, like, crazy stat from last season, he actually averaged the most fantasy points per rush for running backs. He just carried the ball like the least out of anybody who was like in that range. Mm-hmm. Akers obviously struggled coming back from the Achilles injury. Finished strong though, RB4 the last 5 weeks of the season. The Rams really haven't brought anybody else in. So who out of these two are you targeting?
This is tough because, I mean, with running backs also, like, when I'm going to make a pick here, I'd like to have, you know, a little bit more upside. I feel like Akers is younger just a little bit. Obviously coming, he has enough time now between that Achilles injury and now that I feel like he's probably going to have some of his explosiveness back. Like, he wasn't a full step ahead last year, but he's going to be looking better. Usually year two after those things, it's much better. Mm-hmm. So he'll do good. But I'm worried about the running back position in LA. I think since Todd Gurley, it's been really hard for any running back to really dominate there the way you want a lead back in LA to dominate, because they just simply throw the ball to Cooper Kupp and that's all they need to do. So at the end of the day, you know, death taxes and throw the ball to Cooper Kupp and you'll be fine. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. That's just, I'm a little bit nervous about that. What I do like about Sanders that I think could come back this year with Bryce Young and this different situation is I think his receiving is going to go up. I think he's going to get more targets because when you look at a rookie quarterback like Young, he's going to maybe have some more dump it offs. He's going to have some more opportunities to connect with a back like Miles Sanders, who's so versatile. His 2019 season, he had 63 targets. I mean, that's insane. And then it just keep dropping off. I think you go and look at what the Eagles were doing over that time is they were shoring up their receiving core and they didn't need to pass the ball as much to Sanders. And when you look at the Panthers, they need everything. They need guys that can literally do everything. We're rebuilding completely. Give us all of your skills, give us all your talent. So for me, I think I'm going to go with the edge to Sanders here, just because I think that they're going to have to use him. It's going to be really, like, there isn't going to be an opportunity for them to not utilize him as much as they need to, just out of desperation.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was shocked to actually see Cam Akers go ahead of Sanders in Scott Fish. So, despite a points per carry, I know that probably gave the edge to Akers in that format slightly, but I'm not sure that's going to do it. Cause it's not like Stafford, if he stays healthy, isn't just going to pass the ball 550 times. So, like, good luck, Cam Akers. You're not getting most of that. So Sanders can in that offense. You just have to hope he gets way better than it did last year, which I can't imagine the Carolina Panthers offense won't be better. So,
all right. Well,
last big debate, and then we got a couple rapid fires to finish up.
Speaking of Philly and Miles Sanders, the new running backs that are there to replace him are DeAndre Swift, coming in at running back 23 with an ADP 62-ish, and Rashad Penny, much farther down at 103 and RB 37. Both are pretty injury prone, but they've been effective when healthy. So of the two, which one would you want more?
Oh, this is hard. Why'd you guys do this to me? I don't like it. This is tough. I mean, these are both... This is going to be the cluster F for a lot of fantasy managers this season, is there might be someone that based on ADP, they end up accidentally with both, or, you know, you get one and you wish that you'd gotten the other one. It's like you go into the cookie jar and you're like, oh, this one's the biggest cookie. And then you look at someone else and like, oh no, you got the big cookie. And I just didn't like, you're going to feel like so much FOMO with no matter which one of these guys that you take, because there's going to be weeks in and out that both of them become the touchdown leads and the other one is just left by the wayside. I guess I'm a little bit leaning towards Swift, but I don't like it. But I would feel like I would say the exact same thing about Penny if I was higher on him. But I feel like the injuries are a little bit more with Penny. He's a little bit older.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But I mean, in the depth chart right now, it's Swift. And obviously with OT, with training camps and everything else going on, we're going to see some things move. But I don't like either of these guys. I would avoid. This is a running back room I would avoid. But if I had to, I guess I would go Swift.
All right.
It's a mean question.
I'm an Eagles fan. What do you expect?
Yes, this is AJ's
We're terrible
cousin.
People.
So,
so rude.
My rankings say Swift, but I'm definitely not taking it there. I'm not taking it because what we've seen from Swift in the past is that he's very good, you know, in space, you know, in between the 20s, get inside the 20s. It doesn't work. And the Lions completely went away from it for a reason. And I kind of think, you know, Sam, you kind of said it earlier. With the, you know, with the Miles Sanders talk, right? The Eagles just don't use their running backs, at least the last few years, as the passing game has improved in the passing game, because they don't have to. They've still got, you know, Devonta Smith. They brought in A.J. Brown. Goddard, right? So Swift, was he better at than Penny? Catching the ball, getting out in the open. Yeah, cool. He'll have his games, but not enough of them. Penny, if he can just please stay healthy, right, then he's going to outperform Swift, in my opinion. And the cost for him now at 103 ADP is much more tolerable than taking Swift, who I think people are taking Swift at this point because they just still believe that Swift can just be absolutely amazing. And I'm just not sure we're getting that. And so Swift is going where almost Miles Sanders went last year, and we were all slightly disappointed because of it. And I feel like they're going to use Swift the same way as they did Sanders last year, and even worse so maybe because they have Penny and not just like a bunch of, you know, guys behind him. And Penny's actually got like real talent outside of the other players that they had behind Sanders last year who are still there. They brought in both these guys. So, anyway, just if you have like two more minutes, let's just, can we do like four rapid fire questions?
Yeah, sure. All
right. So Aaron Jones or James Conner? Aaron Jones is RB 16. James Conner is RB 25. Obviously Jones finished RB 9 last year. There's no Rodgers anymore. Conner still a workhorse when he's there, just gets everything, but injury is obviously a big thing. So who you got?
This is a tough one because Aaron Jones and I are like this because he won me a championship in a dynasty league that I'd been in for years and finally got it thanks to him. So it's really That's hard tough. To not pick my boy.
I got a couple of those.
he's my boy. It's hard to pick him, but I obviously get the hesitation there, obviously, with Jordan Love. This is a new situation, new Packers offense and all that fun stuff, but it's still Aaron mother effing Jones. Like, he's still going to be the number one way that offense is going to get moving. And I think when you look at someone like Jordan Love, who has been studying behind Aaron Rodgers this entire time, he just hasn't obviously had the opportunity. I feel like he's going to be a bit better than what everyone else is anticipating. And he's going to have to utilize Aaron Jones as much as possible. So I think that the volume is still there for Jones, which I like. I think that the value grab, I'll probably go with Connor, though, just in terms of ADP, this would be an ADP pick for me, and I would go with getting the volume late with someone like Connor.
Yeah, I agree. The other guy's going around Jones. I'm like, I'd kind of rather have them. Just
yeah, when you look at where he's going, marks. Yeah, that's yeah. This is a separation for me that it edges
yep.
it.
Yep.
All right, two new guys that are kind of going around that same Aaron Jones time slot there, or draft slot, I guess. Najee Harris at just about 31, RB12. And Joe Mixon, about 43 and RB17. Excuse me. Right. So both dudes are, you know, the workhorses for their teams. These offenses are definitely different, though. You know, Pittsburgh, as you well know, Sam, is a younger team, and you know, a lot of up and comers there, with a, you know, second year quarterback, and since he just arguably has the best wide receiver core in the league. So which one of these guys do you think offers the higher upside based on the offensive schemes?
Based on the offensive schemes, I'm going to go with Najee Harris. I mean, these colors don't run, but just saying.
Might have left this question in there for you.
Yeah, I figured. Whenever I see a Najee question, I'm like, ah, that one's for me. But also, you know, year two, Kenny Pickett is going to be much more improved. Year two for all these young rookie quarterbacks is always much better. The touchdown regression is towards the positive, so we're going to see that come back up, and he's always going to have to lean on someone like Najee. What's great as well is we have been doing the thing we needed to this offseason, which is addressing the offensive line.
Yes.
It is going to be so much better. So looking yep. forward to that, seeing Najee get more space. Again, he's still just as much of a threat in the passing game as yeah. Joe Mixon is. He's going to get that opportunity. I just see this going getting a tick up. So for me, I'm going to go with Harris because I feel like he's sitting here at 30, but I think others are going to balk and go for others in that spot, and that he yeah. might even drop for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he absolutely will fall. And I've seen him fall many times. I've seen him fall behind the Breece Halls and the ETNs and the Walkers. It's crazy to me. And like, to me, he actually gets red zone usage, which Mixon doesn't, especially because the Bengals love to pass. And they also just hate Mixon. Let's be real. They don't yeah. want him on this team anymore if they could help yeah. it.
No, so. Every year it's like, are they going to trade him? When the trade deadline comes up, you're always wondering if he's going to get the axe or not. So yeah. go with the guy that, you know, that we love and hold near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah. Next up here, we got Isaiah Pacheco, 77.4 and 29. James Cook, 87 overall and 31 running backs. Look, both high pass volume offenses. So, and she's changing the question on me. So
no, I'm making it all visible. You're welcome.
Oh, I was gonna say what? Both high pass volume offenses. They're both solid passing options. But they share it right with, you know, other players on their team. So which guy is gonna have the better offensive season this year? And you know, which one, given their ADP, would you rather have?
I mean, this one's tough. I guess it's hard. It's hard to pick.
It's like the number one and number two offenses in the entire league. So good luck.
Yeah, number one and number two offenses in the entire league, but they're the number one and two not because of these two players.
Correct.
Yeah.
So do you want to be, you know, someone that just gets invited to the party, but no one talks to you? At least you're at the party. That's kind of a deal. That's kind of how I see both of these players. Like, they're just riding on coattails at this point. Of course, they're still
AJ. Yeah. He says that to me all the time. That's why I said it.
What I'm here for.
So mean. But I think between the two, I'm gonna go. Oh, this is hard. I guess I'll go with Cook just because you're getting a little bit because of the ADP again. He's just about 10 spots behind. A little bit better value for the volume that's potentially there, and all the Bills players will play in any kind of weather, so you've got an all-weather team right here, so these guys are built to run through all kinds of blizzards and things, so at least you don't have to worry about that.
All right,
I'm slightly on by Jaco, only because they brought in Harris to maybe be like a little bit of more like goal line person for Cook, but at least Pacheco was kind of that, you know, I know McKinnon took a lot of the you know, the touchdowns, but it was all passing work for him, and it's tough for him to reproduce what he did. Actually, Davis Peng is an article coming out tomorrow on our site who he talked about how overvalued McKinnon is. And so it's incredible the stats he pulled. Like, the amount of touchdowns McKinnon had are just not going to be like replicated this season again at all. And like, the last time it happened was Marshall Faulk, and then the last time it happened before that was like Marshall Faulk again. Like, that's how good it was. So it's pretty crazy what he did. And so Pacheco could see more of the running game in the red zone than what we saw with McKinnon just getting all that, like, inside the 20, like, just break a run out and, like, score randomly. So it is close, but I lean Pacheco. And so last one here, AJ.
All right, the last one is just a bunch of, former names. We got Zeke Elliott, Leonard Fournette, and Kareem Hunt, all not signed and all very old at this point. but they have proven they can, I guess, perform-ish when asked. So of the three, who do you like better?
I mean, yeah, this kind of goes back to some of the Todd Gurley talk I was talking about earlier, Melvin Gordon. I mean, these are the guys that are starting to sunset their careers. I mean, I feel like that's mean to say, but it's also the way that the running back position has gone. I mean, that just is what it is. It's why the players want to get paid now while they're still young, and that's why they're having the uproar that they are. I think when I look at each of them, and I'm just pulling up each of their numbers. I mean, wherever
ADP 143 for Zeke, RB 48, and then Fournette and Hunt are significantly lower at 181 RB 58 and 188 on RB 60 respectively.
I mean, I would still end up taking Zeke there just because I think he's just got a little bit more youth, a little bit more gas in the tank. He's going to end up somewhere, even if he doesn't get signed to begin the season, he's going to go somewhere where, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but it happens every year. Someone's going to get injured between weeks 1 and 4, and he's going to have to go in and be an amazing takeover for that backfield. So wherever he does end up, he's going to get some level of volume, and at that ADP, you can't miss out on it. So between those, I'd much rather have Zeke of the three, because I feel like Fournette, he's lost some of that speed. Hunt is just forgettable at this point, so it's got to be Zeke.
Sadly, I agree. I'm not a big Zeke fan because I've been a Washington fan my whole life. But Fournette, you know,
shame.
He's also going. Yeah, and my gosh, the whole news about we don't know if it's actually going to sell at this point. Oh my God, please die. You know, anyway. I haven't drafted Zeke only because he's gone, you know, an extra like 3.5 rounds early. So at that point, like, Leonard Fournette goes at round 18 in whatever it is, you know, Scott Fish, and I'm just kind of like, fine, whatever, take a shot. That's kind of where I'm at with him. Like, I don't want any of these guys. So, all right. Thank you, Sam, for joining us tonight. Before you bounce, let everybody know where they can find you and what you got going on this season.
Absolutely. Thanks again, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it. Everyone can follow me on Twitter at Samantha R. Holt and on Instagram at Sam_awesome. And please go over to fantasylife.com and check out the brand new site. It looks phenomenal. We have so many tools. They keep adding them what feels like every week. There's so many things on there to help you win your league, win your draft right now, and it's completely free. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for the newsletter, because the content every day is absolutely banging, so please check that out. And yeah, I still don't know what my total show sheet is for this year, but it is coming, so follow me on Twitter and you will figure out where you can listen to me too.
Great stuff. And yeah, absolutely follow her, and thank you for coming on tonight again, and I'll have to do it again soon. If not, you know, for sure, see you at the expo.
Sounds good. Oh yeah, you guys are all going, right?
Yeah, we've got a table, so stop by.
Let's go. All right, I'll see you guys at the expo. Have a wonderful night, guys.
Awesome. All right, see
you. Thanks, Sam. See
you. Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Trying to
Jamie, I'll be trying to catch more of your live shows from now on. Absolutely, man. We love it. We love all the comments, man. Keep them coming.
Hell yeah.
So we have a dynasty question I'm hearing. Sorry, I was not watching the comments. So you want to throw that one up, AJ?
Can I throw it up?
I mean, do you want to? Well, you know, I guess on your computer you can't.
Exactly. I'm like,
I'm trading. So Hunter 18. I'm trading away Debo and AJ Dillon and receiving David Montgomery and Brandon Cooks. Should I do it? PPR, not a dynasty. Sorry. Who said it was dynasty? Somebody said it was dynasty, but apparently it wasn't. Sorry.
That was me. I said it was a dynasty, but then
I read the private chat before I read the public chat, Hunter. Sorry, my producer is not.
I can't read. I'm slightly dyslexic, just not diagnosed.
Just anyway, so it's Debo and Dillon receiving Montgomery and Brandon Cooks. That's tough because you're technically upgrading at running back and downgrading at receiver, but is it enough? I don't think I would do it. I think Debo is by far the best player in that deal, and I wouldn't do it. And Jamie agrees, going for two, writer here, he agrees. So don't do it.
Yeah, I agree as well.
If you can get a better running back in the deal, I think about it a little bit more, but I'd lean towards keeping what you got as well.
Yeah, you'd have to get a much, because the difference between Dillon and Montgomery at this point isn't enough.
But the difference between
Debo and Cooks is a lot. And I know there's, you know, the potential hype, but you know, oh, now he's in Dallas, and no, he's still he's now a wide receiver two, to where before he was a wide receiver one and like the only guy in town. And yeah, better quarterback, but no. Not even close. Just don't do it. So, all right, man. So that is it for this week's show, AJ. I think next week, looking at the schedule, we're doing the wide receiver edition of this, and it's going to be a fun one with Pat Fitzmaurice and Chris Allen.
Yes.
That'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to that one for sure. Show. So, yeah. That's all I got. Remember, go subscribe and like our video. Leave those comments. We appreciate it. And, of course, become an all-access member to Fantasy Six Pack. Get access to our award-winning rankings. Have a good night, everyone.
All right. See you.